member of the Pod Riot Network.
Let the riot begin.
On PodRiot.com.
You're listening to
John and Scott on AKC's
Total Talk Nonsense.
All right, AKC's Total Talk Nonsense with John and Scott. I'm John.
And I'm Scott.
This is episode 48.
What the hell was that you threw out the door? I couldn't even see that.
Shut up! This is episode 3, the heavy metal episode.
48 part 3, John, the heavy metal episode.
And did I say I'm John?
And I'm Scott.
And we got Professor Tom joining us.
Hello.
Live from Kinky Sex Radio here in the studio. Well, he's not. He's Skyping in.
Hi, Skype!
And we love Professor Tom. As a matter of fact, I picked up his show, Professor Tom One-on-One. Kinky Sex Radio One-on-One with Professor Tom. And he was talking about with a submissive slave chick.
I heard that, too.
Yeah, I liked it. It was pretty good. He sounded like Walter Cronkite.
Yes, I'm Professor Tom.
So tell us how you first started getting into slavery and submissiveness, lady. I forget her name. What was her name?
Shannon.
Shannon, yeah, okay.
Shannon. Yeah, Shannon, I met
her. Great, the same as my daughter's name.
There you go. I met her through our forums. We had this discussion going on race play, if you're a white person, doing any sort of race play in the bedroom with a black person. And she chimed in about, you know, she was a black person and a female and a slave, and she preferred white and Asian guys. So she was a black slave to white masters on occasion. And I immediately private messenger, like, wow, that's, you know, that's a point of view you never hear, even in our community. I would love to interview you. And she was just like, what? You know, because it's rare that someone asks
right.
about you in this, you know, it's like, I want to talk to Shannon about Shannon. And then because I just thought it was interesting. Like, you just never hear about that.
Yeah. But I got to say, it's really sounds perfect. You start listening to it, and you don't think it's going to be a kinky thing. You know, no offense. I'm not saying that there's anything wrong with it. But it catches you off guard because it sounds really pro. Like, it should be on HBO.
You know, I got to tell you that a lot of that's thanks to you, Mr. Producer of the Year.
Producer of the Year.
Oh, come on now.
John from TTN Total Talk Nonsense.
I actually, when I first heard your show, one of the things I thought it was, you obviously had some kind of radio studio set up. And then when I found out that you'd done it yourself, basically, you know, you're professional, semi-professional musician, so you spend a little more than most. But I was like, okay, I told my wife, I'm like, I'm buying whatever John and Scott have.
Oh,
like, whatever
thanks.
Those mics are, whatever that compressor is,
it's
whatever they're recording
it's
into.
It's the cheapest shit, too, isn't it?
It's a matter of knowledge. That's the thing. I don't know audio engineering, and you do. So I said, what compressor do I buy? What you told me, and I bought it. And that made all the difference in the world. I'm getting the same microphones you guys have. When I come back from this juggling thing, I'll have a little money. That's the one thing the government pays well.
Nice.
With our tax. As a libertarian, I'm not sure how I feel about that. But,
yeah,
you know, our tax dollars going into my pocket.
Well, we talked about that in the first part before we got you online. And I was like, wait a minute. My tax dollars are going to pay to a juggler?
Yeah,
no offense.
A lot of money too. So yeah,
for a guy to juggle.
Yeah, what kind of a libertarian are you
without juggling?
Hey, not just one juggler. I'm one of 5 separate teams totaling 15 people.
Oh my! So you're on a team of jugglers?
Well, I'm on it. I'm the juggler in the team. There's
so you're gonna toss things to somebody else.
No. The other two people are going to be just like actors and there to kind of help me. So they have 5 jugglers, 1 per team.
Oh, you can't bring John and Scott into that?
I wish I could, man. You guys should audition. If I'd have thought about it, yeah,
what
you
are
guys
we going to do? Ass fuck each other in front of the kids?
We got an in because it's about obesity, right?
Right.
All right. So we got John right there.
You fucker.
Nice.
Do they have like one for bald kids?
They should. And I can show them how to shave their pubes now that I've talked to Professor Tom. Here's what I do, kids. I use the shears on top and I use a razor underneath. Don't forget the taint.
Hey,
yeah, write this down so in 12 years when you have hair.
check this out, Scott. Professor Tom cut his hair.
What?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You cut your locks?
Yeah.
How short?
Pretty short. Not quite as short as John's, but it's short.
No more
I look
ponytail?
Like, I look like, no, no more ponytail. Like,
wow.
Gave it away.
Give it away now.
Have you heard of Locks for Love?
Yeah.
Gave it to them.
That's great,
hey,
dude.
You know, Erica.
Yeah, I mean, part of it was also that it wasn't entirely just to be a night. You know, I was kind of tired of it also. But as long as I'm cutting it, it might as well go to a good. If you don't
right.
know, Locks for Love is
it's for cancer kids, right?
Hair. Yeah, well, like cancer, leukemia, they make wigs out of it.
Yeah.
I had a lot of hair, just per square inch. I have a lot of hair.
Erica's daughter did that.
A lot of hair, a lot of wigs out of my hair.
Wow, that's great, man.
Why didn't you shave it like V for Vendetta?
I actually debated going like buzz cut. I'm kind of experimenting because I haven't
you should,
had long
man.
Hair.
Have you ever done it? You ever shaved your head?
I've never had short hair.
You should, man.
You might have a bad head for that, Scott.
You got to shave it to find out, right?
Yeah, like, we have a close-up of the back of Scott's head, and if he had any idea what it looked like...
I do now.
He'd grow hair.
No. Well, it's like somebody hit me with a mallet.
About 70 times. A ball peen hammer.
And that explains a lot, doesn't it, John?
No, I'm kidding. You got a good head for no hair.
Thank you.
I remember the first time I ever saw you. Did I tell that story here?
I don't know.
The first time I ever saw you.
You're going to need to play you. Some romantic music.
We're in the Beacon Tap where we're playing.
This much is true.
This is the gayest podcast ever.
No,
we just
it's not.
We just surpassed the fag cast.
No, we haven't. Because in Chicago, there's like four gay podcasts. We're
yeah,
still
I've got a link to one of them on
behind
my
them.
I got a link to
literally,
one of them.
Literally, Scott's behind them.
That's funny, John. Like Feast of...
Fools.
Fools, right.
Feast it's
also
of Fags.
One called Sex in the Second City.
Nice. That's a good one.
Really, it's really good. It's a gay black guy, and he does his audio blog, and it's interesting. I like it. I've got a link. If you go to kinkistradio.com and click the links thing, you can see him there.
Yeah.
Oh, Professor Tom, I saw on Podcast Alley you have some comp now. Kinky, I can't remember what the name is, but it's Kinky something. And they just started.
Competition?
Yeah, they just started a couple of months ago.
Uh oh.
I think they're from Germany, though.
Oh, yeah, they've probably podfaded by now.
You know, Scott, you just said one of those keywords.
Keywords?
Yeah.
What is it?
Well, I was reading in the forums. They have a new Grant posted a new poll. Do you have TTNitis?
Oh, yeah.
And what that is recently Grant says, I have been hearing voices in my head. These voices differ from the usual ones. The new voices give a sort of TTN-style commentary of what is happening. Number one, when someone tells a joke, a voice says, "That's funny, John." Number two, when I hear something good, a voice says, "That's hot." And number three, the voices rate things in spiny Normans.
Oh, you know, we went through a whole movie review without giving out
spiny
Normans.
Right. And then Uno Shadow chimes in. And he says, yeah, I also hear a voice saying I might be the biggest cock in the world.
Where does that come from, John? Any idea?
I might be one of the biggest cocks on the planet.
But I think it's biggest cock on the planet is what he meant to say from Pauly B.
Planet, world, big
same,
deal.
Same shit.
Same shite. All right, John, let's get right into religion because I love the religion.
I got a religion thing.
Don't you know the religion, Professor Tom? You know the religion.
Which religion?
I got this story. In a study, prayers aren't the answer.
Oh, yeah, I heard
have
that.
Have you guys heard this? Praying for the sick cardiac patient may feel right to people of faith, but it doesn't appear to improve the patient's health, according to a new study. In fact, the researchers from Harvard, isn't that where the W went, Harvard?
And no, he went to Yale, didn't he?
Oh, did he?
So did the Unabomber.
And five other U.S. medical centers.
No, the Unabomber taught there.
To their bewilderment, The coronary bypass patients who knew strangers were praying for them fared significantly worse than people who got no prayers.
Wow.
Who wrote this? Who got no prayers?
Well, James Randi just underwent surgery and no prayers helped him.
The team speculated that telling the patients about the prayers may have caused performance anxiety or perhaps a fear that doctors expected the worst. It is strange. I'm sorry. It was a strange end for a mammoth prayer study, which cost, get this, John, $2.4 million and enrolled 1,800 patients who had bypass surgery. The majority of funding came from a British-based John Templeton Foundation. Who's that, John Templeton? I don't know.
John Templeton.
The people who prayed for the patients were strangers, either Roman Catholic monks or believers belonging to other Christian denominations. Those who prayed were given the patients' first names and last initials. They were instructed to say a simple prayer for a quick recovery with no complications.
Wow.
Bypass patients who consented to take the part in the experiment were divided into three groups. This is important. Pay attention. Some patients received prayers but were not informed. The second group, the patients got no prayers and also were not informed. The third group got prayers and were told so. There was virtually no difference in complication rates between the first two groups, but the third group, in which patients knew they were receiving prayers, had a complication rate of 59%, significantly more than the rate of 42% of the non-prayer group.
So wait, not only does prayer not work, it hurts you.
That's what they're saying.
Wow.
You know,
I heard a similar study that said no matter how much you clap and wish, fairies are rarely brought back to life by that.
Oh. I would think they're never brought back to life because we're talking about fairies and we're talking about fairy tales.
Right.
I like the fact that the monks needed a first name, last initial because just praying for God, you know who? He doesn't.
Well, you know what's funny, though? I have kids.
That's an excellent point, Professor Tom.
God needs specifics.
We were talking today at dinner about the Easter Bunny, and the kids were arguing about what stuff to leave out for the Easter Bunny.
Wait, you leave stuff out?
Yeah.
Pellets, that's what my rabbit likes.
Give us a break,
pellets.
Man. We got kids.
Well, I didn't know. We never left stuff out when I was a kid.
Yeah, we leave stuff out like lewds and some vodka.
Ecstasy.
Ecstasy.
Into your house is what you're saying.
Yeah, we leave out like carrots and stuff.
Aw.
And then I gnaw on them. And the kids come down and they find their Easter basket and they hunt for the eggs because we're doing, this Mithraism type paganistic ritual that has nothing to do with Jesus Christ, but we do it.
Yeah, the bunny that does breaking and entering.
Right. We do Santa Claus and everything because for some reason, the look on their face when they, experience this is priceless.
Hey, there is absolutely nothing wrong with telling little kids stories. It's when those kids grow up to 40 years old, strap bombs to their belly, and run into an airport that have a problem with the stories.
Right.
Yeah. I would kill you for the Easter Bunny. I know. I'm sorry.
It's never for the Easter Bunny or the Tooth Fairy.
It's right. No. It's for Allah.
It's for Allah.
Allah.
Mm. No bunnies. But, Santa Claus and bunnies have nothing to do with religion.
No, they're the original roots.
Why not?
Exactly.
Well, why can't they?
Oh, they can.
They can.
Pope just has to hit
you're differentiating between fairy tales?
Did you guys know that the Catholics have eliminated purgatory?
I didn't know that. When did they do that?
It doesn't exist.
Oh, they revise everything all the time. Every year it's something new.
Completely rewrote the afterlife. They're having difficulty because unbaptized children go to purgatory. You pray them into heaven. Well, in Africa, the infant mortality rate's much higher.
In Africa.
So difficulty catching on, so they rewrote the fairy tale.
South Africa.
Yeah.
Kafalava.
And my wife, who's a recovering Catholic.
That's funny, John.
Me too.
Yeah.
A recovering Catholic.
I went to Catholic school for 2 years, and I got kicked out.
Dude, she's Filipino. Have you ever met a Filipino Catholic?
No.
They are like Roman Catholic. They are Catholic as fuck.
Yeah.
It's insane how Catholic they are. Her parents are both doctors. Her mother will not prescribe birth control.
My cousin, who was stationed in Korea and then Iraq, just recently married a Filipino girl.
I recommend them.
And the whole island was at the wedding.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
The entire island of the Philippines?
Entire island from... It was an island within the Philippines somewhere that they were married, and the entire island was at the wedding.
Wow.
Yeah. So, did you get married on the island?
No, no. She was born in New York and raised in Mobile, Alabama.
Oh.
She's about as Filipino as you are. She just looks it, you know? My dad...
She doesn't have a Filipino accent, because heard her on... I have a recording here of her.
Yep. My dad, who was stationed on the Philippines for a few years in the Navy, speaks more Tagalog than my wife does.
Ah.
Or but he did.
So you're a Navy brat?
No. My dad did Nam, and that was it. That was enough for him.
Now, like, Rick's a Navy brat.
Oh, gotcha. Now, my dad did his tour, Purple Heart and 2 Bronze Stars, buddy. And he was
nice.
Yeah. Wow. I didn't know that until his funeral. I had no idea.
Really?
He died this year. So, I mean, we're talking 33 years of my life. He never mentioned 2 Bronze Stars and a Purple Heart.
Well, good for him, you know.
Yeah.
Now, you have brothers and sisters. He never mentioned it to them either?
Not a single time. My stepmom, who's been my mother since I was like 13 or 12, she had heard from my father he had some medals. And that was it.
Wow.
So
come on. You know, you got some kids.
You don't brag, I guess.
You're trying to hook up with a new chick. You're going to talk about medals, you know?
Hey,
yeah,
baby.
Did you
guys hear about the priest? But I got some medals, too.
Did you guys hear about the priest that did the podcasting prank? Apparently, he's gotten a lot of upset emails. You know about this?
No.
Father Roderick does, I think it's called The Daily Breakfast. He's a Catholic priest, and he does a podcast. And I'm looking at Podcast Alley here. And he put up this post. Well, I mean, one year he claimed to have been sponsored by Heineken. You know, like he's a funny dude, right? He claimed, he said his bishop was thinking of canceling the show because it wastes the parish's time and finances and his energies. And if you could send an email, he'd like to present them to the bishop when he pleads his case. And hell, I fell for it. I put, you know, I'm a raging atheist. No one's more atheist than I am. And I am. I think he should be podcasting. So, you know, and so I completely fell for it. And it turns out, of course, it was April 1st. It was the episode 100. It was an April Fool's joke.
Right.
Well, apparently, and this is from the guy who does Fitipidations, the marathon running podcast. He's posted that Father Roderick produced a quick update to ask for forgiveness from the listeners who were offended at his prank. He has been getting email angry messages from listeners who felt that he, quote, went over the line.
What?
Yeah, he's, well... Catholic.
What is the proverbial line?
Have another drink
I'm out. I don't have any more. John crosses the line all the time. Like when he told that Flintstones Negro joke, that was over the line.
I think when he described in great detail his cock.
Yeah, we don't need to hear about the girth of that.
And the effect of Atkins on said cock.
What about the time when he talked about the pork and God and the anal canal? That was over the line. I'm not even religious. I don't even believe in God.
It was not over the line.
But that was blasphemous.
It was words.
Words. Just words.
Actions define stuff, not words.
Actions.
Speaking of the priest thing.
Yeah.
Church sex abuse, 783 new claims in 05, Scott. Did you hear about this?
783 new claims.
New figures released Thursday by the nation's Roman Catholic bishops show the unrelenting toll of clergy sex abuse crisis. 783 new credible claims last year, most of which date back decades and costs of nearly $467 million.
Wait, why do they cost?
Well, I guess litigation and some settlements. But it
I
says
here, how well it paid to be fucked by a priest.
Well, get this: the abuse problem was already known to have cost dioceses more than $1 billion since 1950, including some expenses paid last year.
Yeah, they had to close down a few of them in New Orleans.
Really?
Yeah, they closed down it because we had a big deal about it. They closed down the Catholic Church, and the city, the parish actually, was voting on whether to start taxing the land because the deal is, look, you're a church because you do a vital service.
Yeah.
That's the excuse for not taxing them. But if you are not doing a service, in other words, being open, you need to pay some property tax on that. You're just going to let it sit fallow That doesn't count.
Right.
And there was debate about, well, should we give them? And so the council, mostly Catholic area, the council ultimately came to the conclusion of, okay, you have a year to sort this out, and then you either have to sell the property, open it as a church, or pay taxes.
Well, it says here, the total number of accusations against Catholic clergy now stands at more than 12,000 since 1950. And auditors found that 88.5% of dioceses had put in place full safeguards for children required by the bishop's reforms. So that means 11.5% still haven't done anything.
Well, that's just great. Wow.
But that means that despite, am I hearing this right? Despite doing everything the bishop said, kids still got diddled. Is that
right,
correct?
Right.
So whatever was there either wasn't enough or obviously isn't addressing the problem, which is when gay guys try to pretend they're celibate.
Right.
Hold it. Wait a minute. Gay guys and pedophiles are two different things,
Professor
Tom. I know.
Professor
I'm just
kidding. You're absolutely correct.
Of course I am. John, you want to second that?
Pedophilia is almost exclusively a heterosexual disorder.
Well, here's the thing. Here's the theory that I have, Professor Tom, and I've described it before, is when you're brought up in the Catholic religion and you're 12 and 13 and you're not attracted to girls, you think it's God's calling. God.
You said it right. God.
So you get involved in the church and you become a priest or whatever you need to do, and then you find out that either you're homosexual or you're worse, a pet. Not worse. I mean, there's nothing wrong with homosexual, right, John?
Yeah, you're either homosexual, which is
I have
fantastic.
Nothing against John. Right. Or, so, or you're a pedophile, which is
well,
really...
there's definitely a difference. I mean, you could be homosexual. You got your shit together. You're saying, look, I'm into adult males, not little boys.
Right. Let me be clear. Pedophilia is never homosexual.
Right.
Even like John Wayne Gacy, who only diddled little boys, classically, like in the description and definitions that psychologists use, there's no such thing as a gay pedophile. That's a completely different sexuality of homosexual pedophilia.
And we've been wrongly dubbed as pedophiles, Scott and I.
Yes.
Which is impossible because you're gay.
Right.
Right.
So there you go. QED.
There's our defense, John.
We're fags.
Professor Tom,
we're not. We're
a
married.
Side note. Gacy, John Wayne Gacy.
Yep.
I knew his last victim. And
Peast?
My father.
You knew Peast?
Yeah. And my father-in-law was a rookie cop that was sent down to search his crawl space.
You want to hear something really weird that just occurred to me one night? Somewhere, there's a guy, 50 years old, sitting in a bar. And this is the story he tells, and he always wins the bar telling stories. When people start telling stories, you try and top each other, right?
Right.
Because he can say, you know, when I was 10, at a birthday party, greatest birthday party of my life, and the clown was John Wayne Gacy. And we loved him. We sat on his lap. He made balloon animals. We sang songs. He cut the cake. There was a pony. He didn't touch a single one of us. Best birthday party of my life. That's his story. You got to remember, John Wayne Gacy made a living for a certain period of his life as a professional clown.
Mm-hmm.
And he didn't mess with all them kids. You know, he only messed with a very small percentage of the
right.
boys
right.
and girls he dealt with. So there are out there probably 200 people who have only positive memories of one of the greatest monsters of our time.
Yeah.
Just a weird, just a creepy little thought to think, you know, that's one person's perception of John Wayne Gacy is as this clown character.
I have a collector card of his, you know. Hello?
Hello? I was waiting on the rest.
Just to let you know.
Like
yeah.
a bubblegum, John Wayne
yeah,
Gacy,
I
serial
do.
Killer
I
line?
Do. I have the serial killer set, the complete set, including John Wayne Gacy and Jeffrey Dahmer.
Ted Bundy, is he in
yes,
there?
Yes, I have the bubblegum card collection, the entire John Wayne Gacy, Ted Bundy, all of them. They're in there. I have
wow.
it. Wow. You want to see it?
All right.
I'll show it to you.
Oh, your collection.
I do have it.
Right.
I got. I do, man. I'm not kidding. When I was collecting comic books, they came out with this set, and it was hugely controversial. And I bought the entire first year set that they came out with. It even has Al Capone in there.
He wasn't a serial killer, was
no,
he?
No, but it
they
was,
were stretching to fill the deck.
Yeah, they filled everything. Yeah, Because there's not a whole lot of serial killers.
Do they put Nixon in there?
What about Ed Gein?
Ed Gein, I believe, is in there, yeah.
Ed Gein is awesome.
Yeah.
There was a guy, a similar time, around the 1920s, who they go downstairs. Like, I'll get the name for him because I've got the Encyclopedia of Serial Killers here. They go downstairs and they find that he had put women, chained them to the wall. He had been starving them, sexually abusing them. Some of these girls were emaciated. Some were dead. He has his day in court. He acts as his own attorney. His defense was, they were there when I bought the house.
Oh, jeez.
I swear to God.
But
I can get you the guy's name on that.
Hey, Professor Tom, have you read Devil in the White City?
Devil in the White City? No.
You got to check that out. It's a story about the Chicago Fair, which is 19-something. It's a story of that and how they put that together.
Down. Thanks, Scott.
And it's whatever. Early 1900s. And a parallel story is about this serial killer who used the Chicago Fair and the commotion of the Chicago Fair to carry on his killing. And it's fascinating. Great book. Recommended.
Very cool.
What is it called?
Devil in the White City.
Devil in the White City.
Right, because that's what they called the Chicago Fair, the White City, because everything was white.
The people or the...
The people, the buildings, everything was white.
Wow.
Right, and one of the key things in the movie is...
Not anymore.
Paris just had their World Fair, and they had the Eiffel Tower, and Chicago had to come up with something better. So they contacted Ferris, Mr. Ferris, and he brought his Ferris wheel.
He brought his wheel.
Right, which was...
He said, Ferris, bring your wheel.
The Ferris wheel on Navy Pier right now, it was like four times the size of that.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
And they talk about that a little bit. But the interesting story is the serial killer working his way through the Chicago Fair. Yes.
I'm playing the soundtrack
from
Ferris Bueller.
All right, now I'm gonna posit a theory here, something I've been thinking about since last podcast. And I'm going to present why we, John and Scott and Professor Tom, as atheists, are we all atheists? Can we all say
atheists? We are atheists, yes.
Why we as atheists are more evolutionary advanced than everybody else.
Evolutionarily?
Yes, evolutionarily.
Is that it?
I made that word up. It's my word.
I think that's the word.
It's going to be in my thesis.
But your dictionary.
Thesis. In Scott's dictionary.
Scott's dictionary.
Which is part of his thesis.
And here's why.
We're flinging theses.
It's because when we as humans, as Homo sapiens, John, first had consciousness, and I'm not talking about being conscious or unconscious. I'm talking about we're first asked the ability to say, why is John so attractive to me? No, not that. Why am I here?
Right.
Why? What is the meaning of this? Why am I here? That is what I'm defining as consciousness. Once people asked themselves that question, they got frightened. And they said, well, let's make up this cockamamie story about Zeus or Apollo, Buddha, Allah,
Zinu.
Jesus, Xenu, whatever cockamamie story we can come up with so that we feel better about our lives.
So we're not alone.
So there's some sort of thing to look
forward to
for our after. Because mortality is a fact, John. We're all going to die.
Well, I think people are worried about what happens after death.
So they make these fairy tales up. But now, John, Scott, and Professor Tom, as atheists, are more highly evolved than people who make up fairy tales because of their insecurities. And here's why. Because
you don't have a drum roll, do you,
Derek?
Sorry, John?
Yeah, I'm sorry. This is really serious.
Am I too serious?
I don't know. I'm just, you know, I'm caught off guard, I guess.
Caught off guard by this stunning revelation that atheists are more evolutionary advanced than people who believe in fairy tales.
Evolutionarily.
I think that just says it right there. I just summed it up right there. Because we don't believe in fairy tales, John. We like them. We think they're hot. We think they're cute. but we don't believe in them. We don't invest our life savings into them. We don't.
Yes, we do. We set up that fucking tree, put lights on it, wait for Santa Claus to give our kids shit.
That's not our life savings.
And okay, that's, you're right.
There's a separate thesis there that I can work in
you
next
can expound
podcast.
On, okay.
Right. But what I'm saying is our brain chemistry has allowed us, our brain, to see through the fairy tales and know what is really here. Now, some people would call this narcissistic or whatever, but hey, we're just saying it. We're just seeing it and saying it like it is.
Right.
And because of that, we've overcome, I'm saying, since the beginning of Homo sapiens walking erect, John, and I like that word, erect, that people have talked about God, about right and wrong, and about morals, and about what you need to do to get into the afterworld. And who, you could put any name you want on God, Zeus, whatever, Santa Claus, who knows? Whatever it takes to get to the Holy Land, I'm going to do it. I'm going to be there. It's going to be my moral compass.
All right, get to the fucking point already.
We as atheists do not believe that hogwash, but we have a moral compass. Now, that is the message we need to get out to everybody else, because they believe that if you are atheist, you have no moral compass.
And I think that if we keep flinging this thesis, some of it's going to stick.
There you go. Fling the theses.
Fling the theses far and wide.
I see where you're going here. And basically what it is that because we don't have the, we know that death is the end. That's all there is to it.
That's it.
We're more inclined to adhere to our relationships and nurture them as opposed to saying, ah, when we die, we're just going to meet everybody in heaven, and then we'll make up for lost time.
Well, there's more urgency to every day that we live because, who knows, it may be our last.
Well, there's also the argument that if you have a religion, then you can't truly be moral because every action I do that's good, if I'm Christian, I believe, one, I have to do it or I'll be punished, and two, if I do it, I'll be rewarded. So I have a carrot and a whip.
Right.
Whereas as an atheist, when I go and give money to a homeless person, I know that other than the good feeling I get from doing something or maybe the spin as a company, I can brag about it and get press. But essentially, if I give money to a homeless person and tell nobody about it, all I get is a warm, fuzzy feeling because I've just flushed that money down the toilet. That's all I'm getting out of it. I'm not earning points in the afterlife. I'm not going to get golden virgins. I'm not going to get streets paved with gold. So that, for me, was a truly moral action, whereas if I'm Christian, I think that I'm appeasing the giant invisible man who could kill me and scoring points with him and his kid.
Right.
I think Professor Tom hit it on the head. If you're going to get virgins, get them now.
Yeah.
Don't
Which
wait
really,
for
if
the
you've
afterlife.
Had a virgin, they're overrated, guys. I
they
mean,
really are.
70 virgins?
72
no.
of them?
That's
After
what,
you've been through
good.
The first five, you'd be like, well, wait a minute.
What
this is painful
like?
To all
yeah.
of them. This is yeah. not enjoyable for me.
And what if they're ugly? What if they're ugly-ass virgins? Nobody said they're really hot. At least you now you can pick them.
You think they're virgins because nobody else under God's will would fuck them? Like, oh, no.
Maybe they're so goddamn ugly that they're like 80 years old and they're still virgins.
Maybe you're getting Muhammad's sloppy seconds.
Oh, my
that,
God.
That should get a fatwa right
somebody
there.
Somebody should have blow
no
up
doubt.
PTN Studios.
That was Professor Tom. Send your email to Professor Tom.
That's funny, Scott.
Oh, yeah. I heard the doorbell ring the other day.
It did. The other
the
day.
The other day.
A few seconds ago.
Well, it is. It's still 11:35. Yes. Hold on. Let me get that. Hold on, Professor Tom. I'll be right back. Unless you want to get it.
I'll get it.
All right. I'm back at my mic. Professor Tom will get it.
He's getting the door. All right. Door's open.
You guys need a smaller studio.
All right, come back, Tom, and bring what's his name with you?
McCracken.
Yeah, McCracken. Holy shit, all right. Are you here or what? Hello?
That's the longest damn walk, I swear to you.
Yeah, just, you
Jesus
know, like I said before... Can we get this guy just to put the headphones on before he comes in?
I don't know. What the...
I think you need to get Phil a binder for all that paper.
Oh, gentlemen.
Yeah, just... Just relax. All right, now before Phil gets started, this is a first for TTN.
What's that?
I think it is. We haven't even talked about the W.
Right.
And we're already at the news.
Wow.
I wonder if Phil has any W stories. The W.
That's true.
Whoo!
I've got a new favorite W quote.
Yeah.
What's that?
The problem with you French people is you ain't got a word for entrepreneur. Yep.
I'm surprised W even knows that word.
Oh, another one was when he was in Pakistan. He said, Pakistan is a lot for democracy in the Middle East.
Oh, my
Which,
God.
If you know your geography, Pakistan's right there above India, I believe, not the Middle East. Yeah. Shining beacon for democracy.
Oh, he's got
East.
His degree in history. You know.
Yes. Unfortunately, he does not have a degree in geology.
That's right.
I mean geometry. Sorry.
All right, are we ready? Ready for Phil?
Yes, I'm ready. Whatever.
Ireland.
All right.
Now, with your award-winning TTN News, Phil McCracken Whitcomb.
Thank you, John.
Our first story tonight.
Sorry about that feedback.
No problem, John.
And welcome to you, Professor Tubb. What say
Hello
you?
Hello again. Hi, Phil. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you for asking.
Good to see you again.
As online dating matures, some of the first match couples are splitting up. Turns out profiles don't always reveal all, do they, Stumpy? In 1995, Matt Francesca tried a singles bar and set up by friends, tried his hand at online dating. There he met and later married a woman who also liked long walks in the rain and made lasagna. They were even featured in People magazine as a prototype of successful cyber romance.
That's lasagna.
Until, can you guess what happened, John?
What's that?
The fairy tale ended. Mr. Francesca said he realized he was gay and the divorce was official last year. We avoided getting to know the real person, says a 34-year-old corporate recruiter in San Francisco. All we knew was the profiles of each other.
Next story, John.
Teenager sues restaurant after drinking herself up to 2.238 and executing a perfect 10 face plant in the parking lot.
Ow.
A teenager who sneaked into a charity bartender contest to drink is suing the restaurant for causing facial injuries she suffered in a drunken fall in the parking lot.
She suffered?
Tyler Bauer is seeking 200 G's in damages from TGI Fridays, according to the lawsuit. Bauer claims the restaurant was negligent in allowing her to consume beer and liquor purchased for her by her 18-year-old companion and an older man on October 11th. The lawsuit says Bauer, then 17, shattered her teeth, lips, and gums when she passed out and fell on her face in the parking lot with a blood alcohol level of 0.238, nearly three times the legal limit. Police reported that Bauer had fallen off the tailgate of a pickup truck while leaving the bar.
Ugh.
Next Amateur. Story. Robber stuffs woman inside ATM. Victim checks out okay. Seems a little withdrawn.
Oh.
Next story, John.
Did you write that?
Angry Howard Stern lashes out at ungrateful fans who don't want to pay to listen to him. Howard Stern is angry. More fans haven't followed him to satellite radio. In an interview with Entertainment Weekly, the 52-year-old Chuck Chuck lashes out at those of his fan base who haven't made the transition to Sirius satellite radio. In January, Stern moved his popular Bonnie Morning Show to the subscription satellite radio provider.
How dare you? It was just that my psychiatrist and I said, I just got great news. We hit the 4 million mark and I'm angry. It should be 20 million, Stern said in the magazine. It's insulting to me that anyone hasn't come with me. I take it personally, he said. I want to say to my audience, you haven't come with me yet. How dare you? We're up to wild, crazy stuff. The show has never sounded better, you cheap bastard.
Next story, John. Hold on, Phil. Can I stop you there? I just have a personal opinion about Howard Stern. I had a chance to listen to Howard on satellite. Anybody? Professor Tom?
No,
John?
I listened to Howard Stern once in 1985, and that same show. I just replay it every now and then. It's the same. Ooh, look at that.
Here's the problem with satellite. He does not, because it's satellite, he doesn't have the A-list celebrities anymore. There's no A-list celebrities going on to promote
because they're going to go to Regis and whatever.
Right.
Or wherever to promote. They're
wider
not,
audience.
Because Howard only has 4 million. We're used to have 20 million.
Yeah.
So forget the A-list. On top of that, on Fridays, he just does Monday through Thursday. On Friday, you hear Baba Booey talking about what happened Monday through Thursday. Who wants to pay for that?
They don't even replay.
There's like no best of.
They should get like us in there and we'll just read the transcript from Tuesday.
Right. I'll play Baba Booey. You play Howard. And we'll
play Robin.
John will be Robin.
Stop whining. Stop whining.
All right, Phil, I'm sorry.
Oh, those are nice. Oh,
Phil
look at those.
Seems pretty
oh,
upset.
Those are lovely.
Stop whining.
Sorry. That was my Howard Stern.
Well, again, it's all right. I try to maintain a certain rhythm, and I'm used to these interruptions. That's fine.
Next story, John.
Shut up, you big baby.
And Professor Tom, maybe you can get into this story. S&M castration dungeon shut down in rural North Carolina. Police chief astonished at the balls these guys had.
Ha!
At least six men traveled from across the nation in South America to have their genitals mutilated in what Haywood County authorities described as sadomasochistic dungeon. Three Haywood County men are now in jail and face felony charges of castration without malice. I guess it's okay if there's castration with malice. And practicing medicine without a license. The case is the first involving willing castration in the county.
I really don't like to opinion on the news, but who would willingly get castrated? I would think most of them would be unwilling. Wouldn't you, John?
Every post-op transsexual would disagree.
This is the first involving willing castration in the county. It could be the first in North Carolina. This right here beats everything I've ever seen,
the sheriff said.
Dr. Paul Applebaum, a professor of psychiatry at Columbia University and a past president of the American Psychiatric Association, said voluntary castration appears to be a very rare phenomenon. During the search of a home on Wednesday, investigators found DVD recordings of the castrations. So look for that on the web. Next story. Researchers.
If you watch the extras, it's not that great.
On what?
The DVD, yeah.
So you've seen it.
Oh, yeah. The outtakes are funny, but.
Now, I've heard that guys who want to castrate themselves.
He's
now you,
joking, man.
I understand.
You don't, man.
No,
you
I do.
Nah.
Phil doesn't. He's pissed. He threw his papers. But I'm trying to segue until Phil gets his shit together. Now, Professor Tom, you mentioned transsexuals will disagree with that.
Yeah.
Post-op. Pre-op.
Well, both.
Pre-op.
They'll say that they, you know, were born incorrect. They feel they should have a different body form, and they will therefore. It sounds like the sadomasochistic version. You would have to take it on a case-by-case basis. But, yeah, there's probably some sort of – you should be able to, if you have the – this is my opinion here. If you have the desire for genital mutilation, you should be able to simulate. The same way you should be able to simulate necrophilia. If you're actively engaging in either of these things for real, I would seek help.
Right. Now, what I've read is that a lot of guys who want to cut their balls off attribute some sort of evil to their balls. Like they have voices talking to them, so there's some sort of mental thing going on.
Well, we've all heard Pauly B.
His balls.
And they attribute the evil thoughts that they have and the evil actions that they may take, attribute it to their balls, and if they could just cut their balls off, then they wouldn't be evil anymore.
And I think every guy listening would agree that's true. However, you don't actually cut your balls off. You just live with evil voices.
Right. I never attributed my evilness to balls, though.
Hello.
Would you blame the erection?
Yes.
Or John's bunghole?
I blame the blood rushing to my cock.
That'll do it.
That leaves my brain, so I don't have reasoning ability anymore. I can't tell right from wrong. Because the blood's all in my massive genitals. With girth and width. Unlike John, who just has girth.
Ah, whatever.
Whatever.
Girth and width.
I don't know.
Wouldn't it be girth and length?
Yeah, John. Wouldn't it be girth and length? Stupid.
Girth and width. Yeah, okay, idiot.
All right, Phil's getting pretty. Hold on.
Only these balls, Esquire.
Esquire.
I'm calling into your name at the show to clarify a couple of points. How dare you?
All right.
We Paulie should ask B's Tony balls if Paulie B's balls actually sound like that.
As they hit his chin?
Yeah.
Whose chin? Tony Hearns?
Yeah.
Tony Hearns.
All right. Let's
I'm just kidding, Tony. Come on. Don't get pissed. We're always kidding. We're always kidding. Go ahead, Phil.
Well,
sorry.
If I may try a bit of the whole Punky thing, I think you're totally out of line. I think Paulie B and Tony Hearn are geniuses among men.
That's because
they are men among boys, yeah, okay. And you are the boys. So start treating them with respect. You cocksuckers.
Stop taking their balls off
Next
your
story,
chin,
John. Bro. Researchers stunned to find kids who wear alcohol t-shirts drink sooner. Also shocked to learn kids do drugs, have sex, and breathe air. Middle schoolers are sport alcohol t-shirts and caps may start to drink sooner than their peers, according to a new study. The findings, researchers point out, are similar to those of studies from the 1990s that link cigarette branding merchandise to a greater risk of adolescent smoking.
So the banned alcohol, if they wear those
yes,
t-shirts?
Yes, if you wear that t-shirt, you're more likely to start drinking sooner.
Wow.
Next story, dodgeball game leads to assault charges for youth minister.
A youth minister
was charged with assault for allegedly knocking a 60-year-old boy down and kicking him in the groin after taking a headshot from the teen in a dodgeball game. David Bordeaux, 27, was charged Wednesday with one count of third-degree assault. According to the court documents, the incident happened in February at Crescent Lake Christian Academy. Authorities said the teen missed Bordeaux with one throw, but then knocked the youth minister's glasses off with the next. The boy apologized, authorities said, but Bordeaux pushed him backward, and when the teen got up, Bordeaux kicked him in the groin and left.
The teen suffered
whiplash and post-concussion syndrome and had a blood in his urine after being kicked.
Oh, what a fucking wacko.
Bordeaux later apologized. Next story, John. Teacher resigns after putting a kid in the headlock and giving him a hickey.
What?
A Sentinel High School teacher charged with misdemeanor assault for allegedly giving a student a hickey was resigned. Missoula County Public Schools Dan Kirkera, a business teacher, resigned several weeks ago. Kirkera was suspended in January. Police said Kirkera put a 72-year-old male student in a headlock and sucked on his neck, causing it to bruise.
Wow!
Kirkera told KPAX Television on Wednesday that he made a stupid mistake.
Obviously.
Next story, and this is our last story tonight. Allah, the one and only God, creator of the universe, speaks to the faithful through a cock. That's funny, Phil.
Send your letter bombs to Phil McCracken Whitcomb, care of Total Talk Nonsense.
Calm down. Let me get to the story. Cock spared after crowing Allah. Listen to the cock. A cock in Central Asia, Republic of Kyrgyzstan, was saved itself from the pot after crowing what its owner claimed was Allah, the Arabic word for God. The two-year-old rooster was set to be turned into chicken soup after its owner, Inger Gabam Istilahuva, found it to be extremely aggressive. However, Mr. Iskrolabuva has said that it was put the knife to the cock's neck. The bird screamed. And on hearing this, his five-year-old son said, "Diet, it's saying Allah, Allah.
Allah cockle-doo.
La, 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 la." The sound of the cock was then recorded on a mobile phone, and its life was spared. And that's the news.
Oh, shit.
Oh. All right.
And I'm Phil McCracken with Cub with AKZ Total Top Nonsense.
All right. Thanks for coming. Get the fuck out.
Thanks, everybody. And thank you, Professor Tom. I'm walking away from my mic.
All right. See.
All right. Then. I wanted to say to Professor Tom, I kick you too.
Shut up.
Get out. I like the taint. Fuck off.
What did he say about the taint?
I don't know.
I don't know if it was the taint or the kink.
Oh, the kink. I thought he said something. I like the taint or something. We all like the taint, Phil. We all like the taint.
You know what the difference between a rooster and a prostitute?
No.
A rooster says cock-a-doodle-doo, and a prostitute says any cock-a-doo.
I was going to cook this chicken until I realized chicken soup is just Jewish penicillin. I cannot commit such an atrocity in my kitchen.
Listen to the cock. It says, any cock will do.
All right, then. So, Professor Tom, when are we coming down to the Rogers Park studio to sit in on a kinky sex?
Well, it's got to be this week.
It's got to be this week.
It's going to be really boring.
Or June 12th.
Oh, we're going to be really boring. Oh, my kids will be out for 6 weeks, man.
Nice.
Let's see. When's Father's Day? June 10th? Somewhere around there. The day
is that what
after.
They're giving you for Father's Day? They're going to Australia on a walkabout or something?
Sure. Arizona for 6 weeks.
Same thing.
So I'll be kidless for 6 weeks, man.
Uh-oh. Let a play a play.
Yeah. We have, my wife and I have more sex while the kids are here. When they're away, we go our separate ways. She hangs out with her friends. I hang out with mine. Well, those who can come outside every once in a while. Scott has to get a permission slip.
Well, now I'm only 11 houses away.
But still, he has to get a permission slip. I asked the other night, hey, man, last night I said, hey, you want to go out, do something? Let me call,
let me check with the boss.
Let me check with my wife.
Let me go find my balls. They're in her purse. Let me see. Honey, can I have my testicles for the night?
And she said, I rented Capote for, not rented, she bought Capote for us to watch.
Yeah. That's the kind of movie you want to watch over and over again.
So I left John a message and said, hey, we got Capote. Come on over if you want. But you never got that message.
No, I did.
And guess what, John?
I chose to ignore it.
We never even saw the movie. She went to bed at 8:30.
That's what I thought.
Yeah.
What are you going to do? Honey, all the other guys are wearing their balls. Can I wear them?
Can
John's
I wear
wife
my balls?
Let him wear his balls.
Can let me just hold them today.
Just let me hold them for a few minutes.
Come on, the other guys are making fun of me. My balls.
I just want to roll them around.
just let me sniff them. Just let me sniff them. Just wave them under my nose.
All right, that's enough.
All right, that's all the time we have. We got to get the hell out of here. So we're AKC's Total Talk Nonsense with John and Scott. I'm John.
And I'm Scott.
And we I'm Professor Tom.
That's right.
Professor Tom. I jumped in there.
Professor Tom has actually got a bunch of fan mail saying, hey, bring Professor Tom back on the forums.
I heard that last week. That was very sweet.
Yeah, everybody's saying it. So
hey. There you go. You got your Professor Tom back. You happy? I'm not until I get my balls back.
All right, we're out of here, man. Later.
Later.
Bye.
You're listening to John and Scott on Total Talk Nonsense.